Hello, this is Andy Sylvester, and I'm thinking about tools for thought. This podcast series discusses tools and methods that can help us in our thinking. This series was inspired by the current software development in the tools for thought area, which includes outliners and personal knowledge databases. We've been on a little bit of a hiatus, but we're back. My guest today is Phil Nunnally. From Phil's micro.blog site, he says he is obsessed with org mode, org roam, TiddlyWiki, bullet journaling, music, analog audio, synthesizers, electronics, and film photography. So, of course, he'll fit in just great on this podcast. Phil, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Andy. Thanks for having me.
So, Phil, I'm reading your blog. You talk some about org mode as one of your primary tools. And I was wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about, I just read that list of stuff, but what are you currently using for a tools for thought?
It's a big mess. I mean, right now, if you look at all of my stuff, a lot of things that I think of during the day start in a bullet journal or start in a Hobonichi daily planner journal. Almost all the things during the day that I captured digitally or that I scribble down furiously before I forget them start in drafts on my phone, and a lot of things languish there. If I get around to it during the day, I'll put those things in org mode files, in Markdown, which live in a folder that I get to on my computer, either using NV Alt or FS Notes. What else? I've got an outline that I'm reading some of these things from in the Craft app and craft.do. But that's probably between all of those in TiddlyWiki. I forget TiddlyWiki because it's so, I don't even think about it anymore. It's so a part of my almost daily routine. A lot of notes that I keep are in there that if I think they may be useful to other people, I'll put them out there on the public wiki. But it's just a giant mess. I'm always waffling between this or that. I have different moods. I know I share this a lot with Jack Beatty and Alex Johnstone, who we commiserate regularly, but in a fun way about what has our attention this week. So it's all over.
So I guess when you say, well, I have all over, so whenever some piece of information comes across your attention, kind of whatever tool you have open at the moment, you put it there, or do you think about it a little bit?
Yeah, I capture a lot more than I really use. So some of it I think, well, that would be useful in the future. So I got to capture that. I got to make sure I remember this app for later, or I have to remember to check in on this blog later because this is a new interesting person. So some of that stuff, I guess the stuff that becomes the most useful naturally gets the most structure around it. And then I bother to record it properly in TiddlyWiki or in some Markdown file or org mode file. And I might tag it or give it the right context that it needs or tell me who recommended it. But so much of it is just like, there might be an interesting tweet, and I don't even have time to copy the insightful tweet or thread from somebody. I'll just grab the URL, throw it in drafts, and in drafts, I have an action that I borrowed from somebody a couple of years ago. I forget who, but every night at midnight, it makes me a new daily notes draft, and it's just an empty note with a date at the top It's just today's new date. And I add a lot of stuff to that during the day because I don't have my Mac at work. I'm on a PC at work. So if I had my way, I would have access to that all the time, but I just don't. So drafts becomes, it becomes a really crude way to do what Rome encourages you to do. And I was a big Rome user for a while, but I'm trying to extricate myself from that. But it's just any particular day I can look through and see what I was obsessed with that day or what I was reading or what I learned. And all of that stuff goes in that day's daily notes. And so I've got tons and tons of daily note files or entries and drafts that are still just sitting there. I mean, it's embarrassing. Like there's thousands of entries by this point, because I've been using drafts for so many years. But I've started to learn to be somewhat okay with a lot of unprocessed things. I figure if something really merits the attention or the time, then I'll go back and grab it and put it in the right place, or I'll share it or whatever.
I totally understand. I am a link saver myself, and I have had a number of, you know, like word processing documents filled with links, you know. So I have a file that I just, you know, when something is interesting and I think, oh, I want to save it and I want to do something with it, you know, I have this file, I paste it in, and sometimes I write a line or two about it. And then I had at work, I had a collection of files that were so big that I just call it to-do links one, then I'm up to to-do links four. Because I figure, well, when it gets up to 2,000 lines, I really should just create another file. So, and do I go back to those things? Sometimes I search them, but rarely. So, yeah, it's kind of been a read-only dump of stuff for the most part. But it's like, oh no, I needed this. I think I'm going to get back to this. I'm going to look at this again. So, yes, I think that's a. That kind of information harvesting, I think that's pretty common. And, and like you say, the things that really mean something to you, you put a little more effort into it and you structure it a little better. You place it in a different tool.
Mm-hmm.
So you've mentioned drafts a couple of times as kind of your, I know Chris Aldridge has the term waste book, but kind of the dumping ground of the initial dumping ground of stuff for collection stuff. So what do you use org mode for versus drafts or the other thing, just kind of exploring?
So org mode, this is one of those things that Jack Beatty made me aware of. I've become friends with him, I like to think, and I'm a fan of his from reading his stuff on micro.blog and his various blogs. But he and the person that goes by But She's a Girl, both of them, I've read so much about how they've used org mode over the years. And for a while I was putting everything in it, or I was trying to journal with it. I was even using Org Rome for a good long while. And for me, I think the best way that I can use org mode and the way that sticks the best, org mode, if people aren't familiar, it's a whole package that you can install in Emacs, and it's similar to Markdown, but to me it's a lot more powerful and it can give you a lot more usable structure. It's a proper outliner, but you can add all kind of metadata to it. You can insert dates in a way that the org mode system can parse through really well later. So you can do these very specific searches on things. You can hide everything in the org mode outline except for what you want to see. And I'm just in love with it because it's free. It'll always be free. Emacs will always be free. But because it can be so structured, I like to use it for logs of things. So, like, I've one that the ones that I use most often, like, I've got one for car maintenance. Every time I do something or check something on the car, I can put a heading in there and you can attach a date to it. There's this whole system of date structures in there that you can set up some keyboard shortcuts, some quick actions in Emacs, and then you can say whatever file I'm in, whatever org file I'm in, I want to make a new entry now. And so you hit a few buttons and it puts a date in, and it understands how to append it to the end. And then you can put all sorts of free form notes in there, or you can put subheadings in that entry. And so it's like I said, it's great for car maintenance. It's great for when you pay the mortgage and you want to mark that down. You can say, you can just copy and paste all the messy information that your bank puts on the screen, and you can just dump it into this freeform notes field. I use it for health logs, so you can look back and say, what are all the times I went to the doctor or I was sick in the past? And I just love stuff like that. These targeted files that mostly have one purpose. That the nice thing is that you can, if you keep all of your stuff about your mortgage in there, then you can go back and say, like, each month, did I pay this on time? What happened here? What was the special circumstance? Why did I pay this early or late or whatever? So if you do that for things that are recurring, then you can easily see, am I missing an entry? Did I copy this down? I just didn't paste it in for some reason, or what happened here? So it's that day book idea that Jack Beatty talks about. And I love the idea of a free form day book. And for a while I've tried doing that too, where I just have like one daybook.org file, and I just dump everything in there, household things that we did or places that we ate a meal at. And that's great because it's back to that Rome idea of daily notes, where you can just dump a bunch of things in there. But if you don't tag things, or if you don't name things just right, then you end up wading through a lot of stuff to find the one thing that you were looking for, even though org mode has very powerful search, and it's got a lot of things that are over my head. It's got a lot of things that are over the head of most people, probably. But that, in general, that's how I like to use org mode. I would like to use it for more, but I think if I tried to use it for a lot more, like for just the notes that I share in TiddlyWiki that are maybe quotes from people, it doesn't look as nice as that. But I also feel like I'd have to learn a lot more about Emacs and org mode to make that stuff work better. So that's why I haven't delved into that part nearly as much as the logging.
Sure. Well, I think people, it's okay to have more than one tool. There's no one tool that can do everything. And I use org mode for logging, primarily for my work. I used to have a paper notebook that I wrote stuff in, but when I started working at home, and I thought, oh, I should try doing something different here. I'll try this. So I've been doing that for about 2 years now, and it's been very productive for me. But I think, like you say, it's good for you have kind of a use case for it. You've got logs of different things. You have different files that you put different things in, so they're kind of grouped by subject or type of information. And then, like you say, you use drafts as a general collection tool. You use other things. And I guess one thing I'm curious that you mentioned a little bit about Rome, and I assume you're not a current Rome user, or I've heard about the linking thing as being one of the stumbling blocks in all, not just Rome, but any of these tools, Obsidian, Logseq. How did you stumble into figuring that problem out?
Oh yeah, when Rome came on the scene, I forget when it was. It was a year and a half or 2 years ago that I started playing with it, back when it was pretty rickety and people were losing data a lot. I mean, you could type something and then you could watch the thing you just typed disappear as their sync engine tried to keep up with the massive increase of users. I think that that's gotten, I don't think that's a concern anymore, at least when I have waded back into Rome periodically since then, it seems so stable and robust now that I think they figured out the scaling that they needed to do. But it really, I didn't understand Rome immediately. You open it and there's this blank document and they tell you to start writing and start linking stuff. And as you play with it, you figure out how it structures things and how it makes things live under links, and how the backlinks work and the unlinked stuff, how all that works. But once I got it, it really reset my brain. Like, it's hard to let go of the way that Rome wants you to work once you start trying other tools. That's why I tried Org Rome for a while. It's really incredible that, I guess one thing I like about it a lot is that if you've got a tag that you've made for a person or for a book or an app or whatever, as soon as you hit left bracket and start typing, it's not going to be that many characters before it understands what you're going to put in there. So it becomes a little bit like text expander, where you, it fills in the snippet for you, and you know that no matter how many times I talk about Dropbox in my Rome database, it's always going to spell it the same way. I know what it's going to mean because for me, Dropbox is pretty unambiguous, or if I'm talking about Markdown or whatever. So any string like that is going to be easy to find later. But the problem for me is that it just became this sea of links, and I go between wanting everything to be in an outline and wanting nothing to be in an outline and nothing to be linked. Like, sometimes I just want to write stuff and not have to worry about whether I'm going to hyperlink something, whether the computer is trying to figure out what I'm thinking. I just want to get on with it and go. So Rome is still probably the most efficient way to do that kind of thing. And it's just incredible. Like, if I could use it at work, I would, but it's not allowed. We would have to get it approved. And I'm sure that if we tried to show, here's how Rome wants you to put all your stuff in, and they make some privacy guarantees, but not that many. And there's just no way that would fly. But it's still just like, when you're using it for a targeted purpose, it's really great if you're using it for like learning something, or for making notes on a video, because of the way that it has the dual pane thing, where you can open another page in Rome out to the side. It's incredible for that. But I've found that Logseq does just as well as Rome does. So I've used Logseq for some things at home. And I've got a bunch of notes in Logseq. I'm just not actively adding to it anymore, because for most of the things that I'm doing, it almost like Logseq and Rome almost work too fast, and they let me just blurt things out before I really have thought things through. And man, I was going somewhere with that. I guess I just need things that slow me down a little bit most of the time. And that's why I got out of Rome. Another reason that I got out of Rome is because I just didn't want all my stuff to be like, that could go away at any point. If Rome goes under, or if if Connor White Sullivan has a freak out and decides to shut the whole thing down, then it's over. And I regularly was backing my stuff up. I was pulling down markdown versions of everything in Rome. But the problem with any of those things, like Logseq, Rome, or Grome, is that, or Obsidian, they've all got their own ways to do transclusion or references. Like if you're not just doing a straight bracket, bracket, word, bracket, bracket, then there's going to be like IDs behind the scenes that do things in different ways. And so you become married to that tool if you want to keep that functionality. And that makes me nervous. With org mode, with everything being in text files, I know that's never going to go away. Same with Markdown. I still make tons of notes in Markdown each day, just because I've got so many legacy things in that system or in that markup language. So you know that no matter what, you're always going to be able to get everything you need out of Markdown or out of just org mode files or plain text files even. And the other day I mean, I'm still technically paying for Rome, even though I'm not using it because I've got so much stuff in there. It's hard to get the images out. It's easy to get the text out, but things like images and attachments are not easy to get out. They're not easy to get out and connect back to the notes that you made. And so I was going through, I downloaded a bunch of my stuff the other night and I said, this is it. I'm getting my stuff out of Rome. I'm going to stop paying for it. No more. And I was looking through these old notes and I just had just dumped so many things in there as part of daily notes, just random thoughts that really were trivial things that didn't matter. And it makes it almost too easy if you're using it that way, just to put out what's on your mind throughout the day. All that stuff, I mean, 90% of it, I don't care to read anymore. I'm more interested in notes I took about a particular quote or about a way to think about things or just some new insight that I didn't have before then. But there was just tons of garbage in there. And so I'm not going to wade through all of that and figure out what I need. Because I'm a data hoarder, I just want to get the stuff out and freeze it into a folder, like keep it in the zip archive that it comes in. I would like to get the images out, but that there's a couple of scripts out there in the web that purport to get the images, and they don't work perfectly. And there's no great way to get those out of Rome itself, which is super annoying. So I'm a little bit annoyed that I put as much in over the course of a year or off and on for a year and a half as I did. But those are the kind of things that push me more into plain text files for most things. Of course, those aren't as good with images. That's where something like Craft is really good. And Craft, of all the things that I've used, Craft is definitely the nicest, and it makes things that you export very usable later. Like the Markdown that it exports is really nice and clean, and the way that it has everything in an assets folder, or I forget what it's called, but it groups all those things in a folder that's pretty portable. I haven't really dug into Craft, because there's something about like the formatting and everything that you can do to each line. Like you can do so much to make things different fonts and sizes, and it's almost too much for me, and it's almost like too nice. So it's hard for me to take it seriously, which is weird. It's like this beautiful tool that finally does everything you wanted, except it's too polished. So like when I'm looking at a text file or Markdown or org mode, I know what I'm looking at. Like I know exactly what's behind it. I'm looking at the thing, and that's super comfortable. Like I'm almost 51 years old, so I've been using computers since I had a TI-99/4A. So I'm really comfortable with files and folders and with things that are text files, because I can see them and I know I can see if I'm missing something in a folder. I don't know. I mean, I know that they are limited in what they can do, but they're always going to work and I can always control where I store them and where I back them up. And I can tell if something's missing or if something didn't get synced right with Dropbox or whatever. So that was a long answer to, I forget what the question was.
We were starting with, you know, what was, how did you solve problems you were having with Rome?
So. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sounds like, you know, you decided, hey, I don't really want to, I mean, the linking and various things, I want to have my stuff in something else. And also you had some, I mean, there sounds like there's export capability within Rome, but it's difficult to get certain things out, like, you know, photos or images and attachments and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, I hear that. I've heard that from a number of people, you know, who've switched from different tools. You know, I know Jack Beatty and one of my other guests, Tom Zylstra, you know, talked about, you know, his preferences, markdown files, because like you say, he can see what's there. He knows that's going to be there. And he's an Obsidian user, but he's tried to not use too much of the Obsidian specific stuff. So I think that's another thing. If you want to have your data live, you know, forever and not be stuck in a particular tool, then, you know, tools like Org Mode and Markdown, you know, those types of things will help you reach those goals. So
I, mm-hmm. myself,
you know, I'm just an Org Mode dabbler, but, you know, it's good to know I've got that stuff. And like you say, it's, the tool is free, so it's not going away. And so that gives me some comfort there as well. You know, when I'm doing stuff that I think, okay, well, I know I can put stuff in here and I can get it out. And if I had to move to something else, I could do that, but, you know, certainly been satisfied with it so far. So it's a fun journey exploring things. And, you know, I've enjoyed listening to yourself and the other people who've been on the podcast, you know, talking about, well, here's how I'm doing things with these tools. It's, I think that's what I'm hoping is a useful byproduct of this podcast is, you know, for other people to just know, because most of us are just working by ourselves, and it's nice to hear how other people are using things.
So mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for sharing, Phil.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Phil, I think we're about to a half hour mark. I've just have enjoyed talking with you. Is there anything else in particular you'd like to share about your tools or your shout out to anybody else who, oh, hey, you know, so-and-so says use this and I'm,
yeah. I mean, I'm like Jack, where I love to try new things. There's especially now, there's so many tools in the tools for thought category. And a lot of them do similar things. So it's really tempting for me to try all these things out. And a lot of them I do give a shot. Like for craft, I was reluctant to try it. I was like, I don't want to get sucked into another thing. But my biggest problem with all these things is I have moods where I just shift 100% into something that's old or something that's new. I mean, I've gone back and forth between Org Mode and straight Markdown 5 times this year alone, probably. And a lot of it depends on how busy I am. Like if I've got more time and more mental energy, I'll jump back into Org Mode and really give Emacs what it needs to do to work the best. But if I'm really pressed for time, I'll just dump things in Markdown. So I know that I can get to them on my phone really easily, but I wish I could settle down with any of this stuff. So you know, as much as I talked about Org Mode with you today, if we had talked a month ago, I might've been into something else. So this is, at least all of this that I said today is just where I am right now. And I hope that it will stay somewhat calm, but we will see. I don't know.
That's a perfect way to be, whatever works for you. I think that's the thing we all should keep in mind.
That's right.
Well, that's all for this episode of Thinking About Tools for Thought. You can look at the show notes for this episode to find links to the files and topics discussed. You can reach us at info@thinkingabouttoolsforthought.com. I look forward to hearing your thoughts about Tools for Thought. Take care.